Okay, so this past Shabbos was Parshas Matos Masai. And I'd like to focus on Parshas Matos. It says we have in Parshas Matos the parsha where Hashem tells Moshe to take the revenge of Bnei Yisrael from the daughters from Midian. He should go wage war with Midian. So an army, Moshe sends out an army headed by Pinchas, and they go out and take revenge against Midian. Now the pasuk says, "Vayetsu Moshe v'alozer akoyim v'chol nesiyei ha'eda l'krasam l'mchutz l'machne." Moshe and Alozer Hakoyen and all of the Nesiyim went out when they heard that they were returning, that the army was returning from war. They went out to greet them to outside of the camp. Vayiktsoif Moshe al pikudei achoyel. Moshe got angry with the commanders of the army. Vayemer aleihem Moshe. Moshe said to them, Achiyisem kol nakeva? You allowed the females to live? Hein heino ahoyu levenei Yisrael b'dvar bilam. Limsor mal b'ashem. They were the ones that caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. I mean, this the whole purpose of taking revenge against the Midianim was because their daughters seduced Bnei Yisrael to sin. And that was the whole purpose of the revenge. So why, out of all people, why did you allow the females to live? So Moshe then commanded them to put all of the females to death. Now, we need to understand what Pinchas, who was obviously a tremendous tzaddik, and the other commanders of the army, what was their rationale? Why didn't they kill the Nekevus? Moshe's logic seems to be perfect. They were the ones that caused Bnei Israel to sin. They should be the first ones to go. In Parshas Kisetze, there was a pasuk. Pasuk says, "Lo yavai amoni umayavi bekal Hashem." That a amoni, anyone from the nation of Amon or the nation of Moav, cannot marry into the congregation of Hashem. Meaning, no Jew is allowed to marry a Ammonite or a Moavite. Gam dor asiri lo yavar lahem bekal Hashem ad oylam, says the pasuk, even the 10th generation, no Moavite or Ammonite can marry into Klal Yisrael forever. And then the pasuk goes on to explain why not. Al dvar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baderech betzeischem imitroim. Because they did not come to greet you with bread and water when you left Mitzrayim. So they are people that lack the attribute of kindness. They did not come to greet you with bread and water when you left Mitzrayim. Therefore, they can never marry into you. Secondly, says the pasuk, "Asher sochar alecha as bilam ben ba'oyer mipsoir aram naharayim lekal alecha." Secondly, they hired Bilam to curse you. So the pasuk gives two reasons why Amon and Moav are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. One is because they didn't greet us with bread and water when we came out of Mitzrayim. And secondly, because they hired Bilam to curse us. And it seems very difficult that the what would seem to be the main reason is not listed. And that is the reason that the daughters of Moav caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. Why isn't that reason listed among the reasons why Moav is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael? It seems that that should be on the top of the list. They caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. They caused 24,000 Jews to perish. And that's not listed at all as one of the reasons why they can't marry into Klal Yisrael. And what's even more difficult is that the halacha is that it's only a Moavi, a male Moavite, is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but a Moavis, a female Moavite, is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. And given the circumstances that the females were the one that caused us to sin, one would think exactly quite the contrary, that it should specifically be the females that should not be allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, and the males should be. So we need to understand what this is all about. Why is this reason of the Moavite women causing us to sin, why is that not listed as one of the reasons for a Moavi not marrying into Klal Yisrael, and why indeed is a Moavis allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael when they are the ones that cause us to sin? So I think we can understand this according to a word that I once said on the pasuk in Parshas Va'era. The Parsha begins in Parshas Va'era with Hashem speaking to Moshe. Va'idaber Elokim al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, V'yemer Elav Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Va'era el Avram, el Yitzchak, ve'el Yaakov. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the most peculiar Rashi appears on those words, Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov, and you can look into your Chumash. The pasuk says, "I appear to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov." Says Rashi, "El ha'avos," to the forefathers, as if we didn't know who Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are. So Rashi has to introduce them to us, that just in case you didn't know, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are the avos. So who doesn't know that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are the avos? Why does Rashi have to point that out? Rashi explains over there that what Hashem was saying to Moshe was, Chaval al da'avdim v'lo mishtakhin. Hashem says, I miss those that are no longer around. Meaning, I miss Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Hashem was giving rebuke to Moshe because Moshe had asked, after Hashem had sent Moshe to Paroi to tell him to send Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Paroi only made it worse for Bnei Yisrael, so Moshe came back to Hashem and questioned Hashem, Loma harayos alam hazeh, why have you made it worse for this nation? To which Hashem responds, explains Rashi, when I would appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, no matter how difficult it seemed, they never questioned me. Yet, this is the first time I ever spoke to you, Moshe, and you're already questioning me. So Hashem is demanding of Moshe, or rebuking Moshe for not living up to the level of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who, no matter how difficult the circumstances, would never question him. Now, there's a rule. And the rule is that each and every person has their own potential. And each and every person has a mission, a life's mission, and that is to live up to our potential. But one thing is clear, and that is that we don't have to live up to anybody else's potential. The Rebbe Bzisha used to say that when I get up to heaven after 120 years, Hashem will ask me, Zisha, why aren't you Zisha? He won't ask me, Zisha, why aren't you Melech? His brother, Rebbe Zisha's brother, was Rebbe Melech. He'll ask me, Zisha, why aren't you Zisha? And that is going to be our level of accountability. Hashem's going to ask each and every one of us, did you live up to your potential? But the Rebbeinu Shlomo definitely does not require us to live up to anybody else's potential. So, which makes it a bit difficult, why is Hashem demanding of Moshe to be like the Avos, to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Moshe should have answered, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were tremendous people, but Rebbeinu Shalom, my name is Moshe. And if you have a taina against me, you should say, Moshe, you're not being Moshe. Why are you asking me, why are you telling me, Moshe, you're not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? That is what was bothering Rashi. To which Rashi responds with these two words, El Ha'avos. Meaning that there's one exception to this rule. The exception to this rule is that if one has parents, grandparents, ancestors, one is accountable and one is responsible to live up to the level of their parents, grandparents, ancestors. As Chazal say, Chayev Odom Loimar, a person is obligated to say, Mosai Yagiu Masai Lemasai Avoisai. When will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers? So, when Rashi was bothered by why is Hashem demanding of Moshe to be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Rashi answers El Ha'avos, because they were his forefathers. And therefore, Hashem demands of Moshe to be like his forefathers. Having said that, let us look into the reputation of the forefathers of Amon and Moav. The forefather of Amon and Moav is Loit. Loit was the father of Amon and Moav. Loit, as we know, the famous daughter with Loit's daughters. The children that were born from that relationship was Amon and Moav. We find that Loit excelled in Hachnasas Orchim. When the angels came to Sodom, Loit endangered his life to bring these guests into his home. That's one beautiful thing we find about Loit. Another nice thing we find about Loit is that Chazal tell us that when he was Avram and Lot were going down to Mitzrayim, Avram had hid Sarah in a box because he was concerned that the Egyptians would take her away, as they eventually did. And when he came in through the border of Mitzrayim, Lot did not give out the secret. Lot could have easily given out the secret that this was, that Sarah was in the box. Lot could have made a lot of money by giving out the secret. Nevertheless, Lot watched his tongue. He did not give out the secret of Sarah being in the box, and he was rewarded for this with great riches. So we find these two attributes that Lot had. One was his attribute of Hachnasas Orchim, of inviting guests into his home, taking care of wayfarers. And the other attribute that he had was he was able to guard his tongue from saying what was not supposed to be said. On the other hand, there is one, if there is a midah that Lot did not, that Lot was, we can say, corrupt in, was the was promiscuity. He, if you look into that parsha, he was willing to give up his daughters to the people of Sodom in order to save his guests. And eventually, he ended up having relations with his own daughters. That was one area that Lot was not one area that he did not excel in, to say the least. So when the pasuk tells us in Parshas Kisetze that we cannot, that Moav is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, it is for two reasons, and those two reasons are that Moav did not live up to the midos, to the attributes of his forefather Lot. Number one, they did not, like Kidmu Eschem Velechem of Amayim, they didn't come to greet you with bread and water. Being grandchildren of Lot, who was such a Baal Machnes Oirech, who went out of his way, who sacrificed his life to take care of wayfarers. We would have expected that Moav should come out and greet you with bread and water, and they didn't. Secondly, having a grandfather as Lot, who knew the power of the tongue and knew to watch, not to use his tongue to harm people, Moav did not live up to that either. They went ahead and hired Bilam to curse you, to use his tongue to harm you. So these are two complaints that the Torah has against Moav, and these are specifically complaints against Moav because they should have known better. They had a grandfather that excelled in these two areas. But there is no complaint against Moav for allowing their daughters to seduce Bnei Yisrael sexually, because that is something that they shouldn't have known better, because their grandfather and grandmothers were no better. And this is why that reason is not mentioned in the Torah altogether. Not only is it not mentioned, but the daughters of Moav are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael because we don't expect anything, we couldn't expect anything better from them. Whereas the Moav men, who didn't greet us with bread and water, and hired Bilam to use his tongue to harm us, they we expected something better from them because their forefather excelled in those areas. And perhaps this was Pinchas's and the other commanders of the army. This was their rationale for not putting the Nekevis to death. They realized that there was nothing more to expect of them, since Lot and his daughters were their role model. It was only once Moshe told them that they should kill them, nevertheless, did they go ahead and do that. But Pinchas and the commanders understood that this was not an area that they could have expected anything better from the daughters of Moav, and therefore did not put them to death. So if there's a lesson here for us, that lesson would be that we are all grandchildren of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In one way or another, we're definitely all considered Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, in a sense that we're obligated to say Mosa Yagiu Masai, the Masai Avosai. When will our actions reach the actions of our forefathers? And which includes not questioning Hashem and all of the other middos that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represent. I'd like to share with you one more vort.